So, Paige.
What?
Listen, this is the third fucking take of this story because I keep saying my husband's name. I don't expect Paige to act surprised anymore. This is for you listeners at home. So, I've been trying to be bisexual for a while now.
That's still not how it works.
I wasn't getting anywhere because I was looking in the wrong places. I was looking like at eye level or above, and it turns out what I needed to be doing was going to an event called Micro Maidens. So Game Boy and I went to this event last weekend. It is a little people burlesque show.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was shout out to Boner Man, who was also there, our longest, hardest fan.
Boo.
Whoa. That's
not boo him. Boo your joke.
Oh, thank you. So we go to this burlesque show, right? And the minute we walk in, I like look across the room and I see this woman with the most incredible ass on the face of the planet. I can't even describe, like, proportionately, she is like as wide as she is tall. It was beautiful and perfect. And I want her to ruin my life. I'm obsessed. I follow her on Instagram now. She has an OnlyFans. I'm not going to pay for it. But like, if I had money, that's what I would be spending it on. I guess I did drop $40 on a lap dance. From her and from the world's shortest stripper. She's 2'10" tall. She put her whole body on my face. It was amazing. Game Boy got a lap dance. Almost got his nose broken by Big Ass. Just with them cheeks. Like the next morning, he's like, my nose hurts. It was an awakening. It was incredible. I think I've been bisexual the whole time. My just interests are narrower with women than with men. But I was like, I'm not lying. I know you're looking at me like this is a bit. It's not a bit. I'm in love with Tiny Boo. That's her name. She loves me too, I could tell.
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome to Paige and Pixel.
Yep.
You are so, I wanted you to be like, oh yay, you get to add another pride flag to your collection.
I mean, here's the thing, I'm not going to tell you what your sexuality is. However, I don't.
I'm not lying.
I don't think you're lying. I just. That's. What? You know what? We're just going to.
No, what?
On. No, I don't. I. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome to the
bisexual
club.
In me sees and honors the bisexual in you. Welcome back, peepees. This is part two.
Technically, if you're non-binary, though, and bisexual means liking people whose genders are both the same and different from you.
Listen, I'm just a big old ball of queer, and I keep finding new little rocks to turn over in my head. And it's like, that's queer shit. That there, didn't know that was there.
Yep.
I don't like labels. I don't need labels.
No, yeah. But like.
Yeah. What?
I don't know.
This is part two of our deep dive into Silent Hill 2. If you missed part one, where the fuck have you been? Go back and listen to it.
Seriously.
I'm not going to be catching you up other than the catching up I will have to do for Paige for the things
we're
that
just jumping
she
right
forgotten.
On in where we left off.
Yes. Before we do that, I'm going to reiterate the content warning that I issued at the beginning of last episode because we're going to be dealing with themes of child sexual abuse, sexual violence, violence in general, suicide, murder, you name it. And we're going to be diving right back into the deep end of that content warning pool with Angela's story.
Oh, right.
Yeah, oof. Things were rough, which you know because you just refreshed your memory and listened to that previous episode again.
Totally.
So, if you'll recall, we left off last time with James' showdown with the abstract daddy. Now, the abstract daddy is kind of hard to describe. So, if you're in a place where you can pull up a pic feel free to do so.
Here I go.
Yeah, I'm still going to do my best to describe it verbally, just in case you're driving or don't have a cell phone but have managed to listen to this anyway. So the abstract daddy is a bed frame with two figures that are like trapped inside the bed. Like the legs and arms of the daddy are like through. Yeah, it's awful. I see the look on your face. It's really fucking bad. I'm going to keep going, though. They're like through the mattress on one side of the bed. His head is on the other. You can't see any defined features because there's a sheet stretched over the daddy's head. But there are two figures on the bed in missionary. One of them on the top, one on the bottom. One of them is adult sized and the other isn't. So, Angela has been a victim of sexual abuse at the hands of her father and her brother for basically her whole life.
Yeah, I don't think I can play this game.
I absolutely told you that.
I know.
But, this is not appropriate to, like, plug in the middle of this really deep, heavy moment, but it is free if you have a PlayStation Plus subscription. It is free to download right now. The remake is.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So, anyway, back to hell. So Angela eventually has enough of the abuse and she kills both of them.
Good for her.
See,
I support women's wrongs.
See, and this is why I can't ever get Angela's character out of my head, because like, I don't know about everyone's opinion, but like with Paige, as far as I'm concerned, she has done nothing wrong, especially where her dad is concerned. Like, I imagine in situations where siblings abuse, a lot of it has to do with, like, they have been abused, they're working out that trauma, like, shit gets hairier there. But, like, with her dad, who is an adult.
Right. Fully, completely understands what he is doing.
He had every last bit of what she did coming to him.
Yep.
He deserved way worse. And Angela, in my opinion, deserves a family that loves her and a second chance and, like, every single good thing that there is. But Silent Hill isn't about what anybody thinks anybody else deserves. It's about what Angela thinks she deserves.
Oh.
It is her own guilt and trauma that have her trapped there, and it makes me want to fucking cry. So, James battles the abstract daddy. And as the battle progresses, the apartment slowly morphs back into the prison. Because we're in the prison level, but
transformed
for a second. But, like, really, that apartment was a prison for Angela.
Right.
There's one point where you run past, like, a tiny, like, tiny, tiny closet in the apartment. And it's got a little blanket and a teddy bear in it. And it's like, is this where she slept? Is this where she hid from her dad? Either option. Makes me want to light every abuser on fire.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's do it.
You know what? Pause recording. We're going to go.
Let's go.
Get some kerosene.
Now.
Absolutely.
I'll be back. That was not legitimate. Or that was not serious. We're not pausing anything. Please don't report us.
If you want to pause and do it, we can't be held liable for that, right? So, like, whatever you want. You have autonomy. You have free will. So the boss battle itself, not particularly difficult. You kill the abstract daddy. And then, like, after you've killed him, Angela, like, runs in and starts wailing on his dead body. Just, like, punch and kick and freaking
out. Good for her.
And James is, like, trying to be helpful. He's like, it's okay. He's gone. He can't hurt you anymore. And Angela, like, whips around and says, don't even try it. I see what you're doing. It's always the same with men. You're only after one thing. Don't lie to me. Just say it, or you could force me like he always did. Yeah. And then she starts to cry, calls James a disgusting pig, says she hates him. And James is like, look, I don't think you're talking to me anymore right now. Like, I think you're projecting something onto me. I am not here to hurt you. I have never been here to hurt you. I'm just here to find my dead wife. To which Angela says, oh, come on, admit it. You didn't even want her around anymore. So that's like the second time someone else in Silent Hill is like, you didn't even like her. She says, you know, you found somebody. I'm sure you found somebody else. And James, like, screams. He's like, no, I never did that. And then, like, while he's having his moment, Angela just wanders off and says, I'm going to go look for my mom some more.
All right.
So, yeah, that's Angela. And in, like, no time at all, between, like, a note and a little bit of overheard dialogue and, like, some visual effects, the game conveys the horrors of abuse, the effect of trauma on their victims, how it makes you see other people, how it makes you read people's motivations, all of that, how it makes you suspicious, the guilt and shame you carry. It does all of that in, like, the blink of an eye.
Yeah. Video games are art, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that section we just talked about, coupled with another interaction that we will have Angela towards the end of the game, those two things together constitute my favorite parts of this game. Like, her storyline and mm-hmm. the arc of her character, it's so good. It's so devastating. I can't wait to tell you about that second part, but we gotta wait. Because we're not there yet. Where we are is in the basement of a prison where we find Maria locked in a cell. Now, if you remember, it's the same Maria that had the shit killed out of her by Pyramid Head in our last episode.
Oh, yeah. He, like, just skewered her right on through.
Like a kebab.
I do like a good kebab.
Good Maria kebab. I can get down with that right now. So anyway, she's back. Because James is still here. And until he gets his shit together, Silent Hill will keep respawning Maria over and over and over again. And bad shit will keep happening to her, and it will continue to torture him until he gets out of there. So James is like, oh my God, Maria, you're still alive. And Maria is like, what the fuck are you talking about? You've got to be confusing me with someone else. And then she starts to recount a memory of a vacation that James and Mary took to a hotel in Silent Hill.
Oh.
She says, remember you made a videotape of me and then we forgot it. We left it behind in the hotel room. James is like, how do you know about that? You're Maria. She says, well, I'm sure not your Mary. I'm whoever you want me to be.
Oh.
And she reaches through the bars and caresses his face and says, I'm real. Basically, do you want me or do you want to keep looking for Mary? And he says, I don't know. So she tells him, come back when you make up your mind. So he leaves her there in the prison cell, which also happens to have a hospital bed and an IV stand in it because symbolism shit.
Right.
And he goes off to deal with a fucking giant physics puzzle.
Okay.
So basically there's this like huge floating cube house thing. And depending on how it's oriented, like if you walk in a door, like there's a staircase that you can go down, but then it like turns 180 degrees and like the staircase is on the ceiling, but there's another passage you can take. So you have to like manipulate the house so you can like walk in and go down different particular hallways. It's easier than it sounds. I struggle with it a bit because spatial reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you figure it out. You have to solve these puzzles. You have to get the key in order to progress out of the prison. So you solve the big cube puzzle. You go check on Maria, and she's dead. Again.
What?
She's lying in what is now just a hospital room, not even a prison cell anymore. She's covered in bruises and blood and, like, this, like, gross pussy stuff on her face. And for a moment, James kneels down beside her and takes her hand and starts to cry. Then he like stops himself and he says, nope, I'm here for Mary. And he moves along.
Huh.
But you get the sense that that must have been what Mary looked like
right
at the end. He moves along to the prison cemetery, which is like the prison yard where they bury the people that die there. And in it, you find graves for Angela and Eddie and James.
Huh.
So is this Silent Hill fucking with him? Or are all three of them literally dead and this is their afterlife?
Right.
Not clear.
Oh.
But if this is Angela's ultimate fate, I want to fist fight God.
Yeah.
Yep. So James jumps into his own grave, winds up in a hallway goes down another super long staircase, winds up face to face in a giant refrigerated meat locker with Eddie. Go ahead. Before I get into the Eddie boss, I just want to take a moment and highlight how surreal this game is. So, like, I explained this most recent transition from, like, grave to hallway to meat locker.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole game has had moments like this. Like, in the prison, you've been going down long flights of stairs throughout, so you should be, like, 50 stories underground, but eventually you walk out at ground level.
Weird.
Yeah, so it's like the subtle, it doesn't call attention to itself, but there's mm-hmm. all these little moments of, like, you jump into a hole and you wind up where you were, but yeah. It's level two. It's just, yeah. It's kind of like, have you ever seen The Shining?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's a documentary about the making of The Shining.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how Stanley Kubrick was intentional about filming it so that the geography of the hotel can't actually exist and doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, like Bluey's house.
Fuck. Is that really...
That's like a thing amongst like parents whose kids watch Bluey. Like, there's like things, but like everyone's always like, this house makes no sense.
Yes.
It can't possibly
be like real. Windows on interior walls, like all like things that can't be as big as they are. That so it's that sort of a thing. Like, it makes you feel weird and uncomfortable, but it doesn't draw attention to itself. So it's weird. Just like, ugh, something's wrong here. But anyway. Enough about that, because we have a serial killer to waste.
Heck yeah.
So this was, for me, the controller-breaking moment of the game, because Eddie is such a pain in the ass to kill.
Great.
He's stealthy. He's super fast. He has a gun. And
Eddie's got a gun.
He sure does. So it's not just all that. And, like, you have a gun, but, like, using it in this battle, it just doesn't work against him. It's stupid. So, on top of all that, you're in a meat locker, and there's all these bodies hanging on meat hooks, so he has, like, tons of places to hide and pop up from behind. But I fucking killed his ass, and it only took, like, 3 attempts and about 50 whacks with a steel pipe.
Suck it, Eddie.
But before I killed his ass, Eddie said something that I think is important. He's, like, ranting and raving, and James says, calm down, Eddie. You need help. And Eddie is like, James, dude, you're stuck here, too. You are not better than me. We are both equally fucked up. So, like, let's forget this holier-than-thou bullshit, which I think is really instructive of just how in denial James is about everything. Like, he still won't let himself remember exactly why he's here. He still thinks he's just going to find his very dead wife and everything's going to be chill again when he does.
Right.
Like, at least Eddie knows he's dead and Eddie knows he's in hell and he's trying to make the most of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's bad. I'm not saying Eddie's good, but, like, at least he's, like, in touch with reality.
Right.
At least he knows what he did.
Kind of like James, like, okay, like, cool, you're going to go find Mary and then what?
Right. What's step two?
Why?
So anyway, you kill Eddie, you walk out of the meat locker, and you're on the streets of Silent Hill, and it's daylight again. Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
You spent all night in the prison, but you emerge victorious. So you leave the prison, and there's this pier with a boat docked, like, immediately behind the back door of the prison, which doesn't seem smart to me, having a prison just, like, open onto an easily accessible nautical escape route. But again, we're doing surrealism here.
Yeah.
So James gets in the boat, rows across the lake to the hotel. Can you feel it, Paige? The truth is so close now. So we're doing
what's happening?
You'll find out. We're doing, like, kind of a heavy-handed homage to that story Maria told us earlier in the game about the woman.
Right, with the, okay.
With the candle. Yes. James is rowing towards a point of light on the other shore. It's daylight, but it's still foggy as fuck.
Yeah.
Where he hopes to find his lover, even though, like the couple from the legend, seem hella doomed to me.
Yeah. Also, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. So I have this theory that each of the human characters that are trapped in Silent Hill have, like, an elemental symbolism going on. So, like, Eddie was ice. Okay. Right. He's always cold. His version of hell is basically, it's a meat locker.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that's pretty easy. He represents, like, he's a cold-hearted killer. Like,
right.
He's not feeling punished by hell. He's actually more fully himself there than he ever was topside.
Right.
Angela's element is fire, which will become very clear later on. Not as sure about the symbolism there, but I feel like it's like her own guilt is consuming her. She is like holding her own feet to the flame constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then we have James, and his element is water. There's been like a slow progression over the last three levels, and it will become really obvious at the hotel. Like things mm-hmm. are just getting like wetter and wetter, just like my Sunday night at Micro Maidens. But yeah,
I don't ever want to hear you talk about Micro Maidens again.
You're going to hear it. It's a core memory now. So, like, there's standing water everywhere in this hotel.
Okay.
The basement of the hotel will, like, steadily fill with water as the level progresses. And I feel like, to me, this represents that James is, like, drowning in his own grief and his mm-hmm. own guilt. But he also has, like, obscured the truth about the source of those feelings from himself. Like, he won't admit that taking care of his wife was hard. He won't admit to how tempted he was to have his sexual needs met elsewhere.
Right.
He's going through this experience like his head is underwater. He doesn't see clearly. He doesn't mm-hmm. hear clearly, even though it's pretty obvious to the players and to the other residents of Silent Hill what's happening with him. He's right. like the only person that can't see himself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just wanted to, like, clue you all into some of the symbolism in the background of the game, the meaning that I took out of it. That's not, like, confirmed. That's just like vibes that I'm getting. If you think that I'm stupid and wrong, cram it up your ass. So anyway, James is at the Soggy Hotel, and who should he meet there but Laura, our favorite little asshole child.
Yes.
And he's like, "You're gonna fuck me again, you little shit." And Laura says, "No, because I need your help finding Mary."
Oh, right, because
she has a letter from Mary. She knows
yeah,
Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in the hospital together for a year. She's here at this hotel, isn't she? She told me so in her letter. So, like, the letter was not just a ruse to get James locked mm-hmm. in the boss fight arena.
Oh, yeah.
There really is a letter from Mary to Laura. In fact, there are several letters that Mary wrote and gave to her nurse to be distributed upon her death.
Hmm.
One of them was to Laura, as they were both being treated in the same unit for a time and got to be close. Every indication now is that Laura is fine, like she got better.
Mm-hmm.
I watched an interview with the writer of the game, Hiroyuki Owaku, about Laura specifically.
Mm.
And he said that, like, his vision for her is, like, she is an alive girl. She's real. She is an orphan, though, which is why she just goes where she wants and she does what she wants
right.
because no one's watching her. Also, she is not seen in the prison at all, which makes sense because it's the only place that is not publicly accessible.
Right. And she's like, kind of like, can like pierce the veil a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. She's wandering around the town. She's wandering around, you know, the hospital where she was treated. She's at the movie theater.
Yeah.
She's in the apartment building. Maybe she lives there. Like,
mm-hmm.
everywhere she is, it makes, like, she could theoretically be there
mm-hmm.
topside. So yeah, like, Laura is and kind of has been the only thing anchoring James to reality.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
So Laura lets James read the letter that Mary wrote to her, and in it, Mary apologizes to Laura for not being able to say goodbye, but she says, "I'm in a beautiful place now." She tells her not to be too hard on the nurses. And she says, "Be nice to James."
What?
Specifically, she says, "I know you hate him because you think he isn't nice to me, but he deserves a chance. He's surly and he doesn't laugh much, but underneath, he's a sweet person."
Aww.
"I love you, Laura. I love you like a daughter. If things were different, maybe we could be happy together like we talked about. Even so, you'll have a good life because you're smart and beautiful and strong. Happy 8th birthday. Your friend, Mary." So.
Oh, well. Jane, rip my heart out.
Rough. But there are some clues there. The things,
yeah.
like, James' version of events
maybe not so reliable.
Primary thing we learn is that James should know and should have known the whole time who Laura is.
Yeah.
He would have interacted with her in the hospital while he was there with Mary. He has blocked Laura out of his mind completely. He has no memory of who this is. Just like he has blocked out so many other things about Mary's illness and death. Like, he never at any point, like, recognizes Laura. Even though she knows exactly who he is, which now makes sense why she's been fucking with him the whole time.
Right.
Because that's the bitch husband of one of her favorite people on the planet.
Right.
Who is acting like he doesn't know her, which, like, what the fuck is that about?
Right, like, don't, like, you know who I am. Why are you acting this
way? Exactly. So, James finishes reading the letter, and he says, Laura, how old are you? And she says, I turned 8 last week. The letter said, happy 8th birthday.
Okay.
Which begs the question, how long has Mary been dead, really?
Right.
James, the first thing he says when he's talking to Angela is she's been dead 3 years.
Right.
But from this bit of evidence, it would have had to be at least less than a year. Maybe, you know, well, anyway, because Mary was preparing to be dead before Laura's 8th birthday, which just happened. My theory, and it's not said explicitly, my theory is that Mary got sick 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And has, in a sense, been dead to James ever since. Because
right.
she could no longer be the wife he knew, the wife right. he fell in love with. That her illness was so horrific to him that he just basically erased all of it, start to finish, from his memory. I think it's possible that Mary died moments before this game began.
Okay.
Or maybe it all happened 25 years ago and James has been looping
since right,
then,
yeah.
Because who the fuck knows about time? He's just reliving this hell over
right.
and over. There's no way to know for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the first piece of information that seems to get through James's defenses. Like, he seems to, like, absorb some truth.
Oh,
from
yeah.
this.
Like, wait a second.
He doesn't yell. Because right away, what he's been doing before is just yelling and screaming, like, no, that's not true. That's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't call Laura a liar. He says, I guess this means Mary didn't die 3 years ago. But then S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back and he says, maybe this means Mary really is still alive. Maybe this
oh,
means she's
James.
Waiting for me. The beautiful place she's talking about, maybe it's not heaven, it's just this lakeside hotel.
James, sweetie.
And
honey.
And Laura can't help him. She can't disabuse him of this notion because she's 8, and for all she knows, James's new theory is correct.
Right.
Like, she doesn't know for sure that Mary's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, Laura then drops this bombshell on James. Oh, there's actually another letter, and it's addressed to you.
Oh, great.
She hands him an envelope with his name on it, but it's empty. Laura doesn't know what happened to the letter. She said, it was in there last I checked. Maybe I dropped it. Maybe it fell out. But she says she's going to go find it for him and runs off. My theory is that there is a letter in it. He just cannot see
oh,
it. Like,
yeah.
like he's been blocking out so much of reality.
Yeah.
Because later, at the very end of the game, he can read the letter. And, like, he never finds it. It's just...
It just
it's just
there.
Yeah. yeah. So I think it's in there the whole time. He just can't accept it yet.
Yeah.
So then Laura leaves. And after she leaves... So you know how earlier she drew on the wall this picture of, like, a wolf trying to eat a bunny, like attacking a little
yeah bunny. Yeah
well she draws another picture and now it's like a cute little wolf and a cute little bunny playing together, so it's like she's made some peace with James.
So James is the wolf and she's the bunny.
Yes. So like that's nice, I guess.
Cool.
James goes back to exploring the hotel, finds a letter at the front desk saying that the videotape he left behind, remember the one that Maria mentioned,
mm-hmm,
is being stored in the hotel safe until he can come retrieve it.
Okay.
So more exploring. And at least at first, the hotel level is much more chill than the rest of the game has been. It takes, like, a while for any monsters to show up. The hotel's in pretty good condition at first. It degrades over time,
mm-hmm,
like surrealism. The game has definitely shifted into, like, let's tie up some loose ends and solve some mysteries. Mm-hmm. Like, we're past the most intense, save for an upcoming final boss battle. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it's winding down.
Gotcha.
This doesn't matter at all, but instead of being called the East Wing and the West Wing of the hotel, they're called the Sunrise and the Sunset Wing, and I think that's adorable.
That's so lame.
I love it. I love it. I, like, caught that. I didn't catch it the first time I played this game, and I caught it this time, and I was like, oh, that's clever.
So romantic.
Anyway, you eventually find the key to room 312.
Okay.
Which is the room James and Mary stayed in. And you put the tape in the VCR in the room, and on it, you see Mary alive and well. And they're just having a normal conversation when Mary breaks into a coughing fit.
Oh.
The video suddenly cuts to a different scene. Mary is lying on a bed. James takes a pillow and smothers her to death. Yeah. So that's, yep. That's the big reveal. That's the big, you didn't see it coming at all. I was sure when I was writing this episode, I was like, Paige is gonna, I was imagining you asking me, like, in the first 10%, did he kill his wife? And I'd have to be like, you motherfucker, you ruined that. But no, you didn't.
I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect. I'm glad you didn't screw it up for everyone.
I actually think it's a good thing because it makes books more interesting and stuff. Like, I am not good at guessing twists.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, because I'm sure there will be some listeners that have figured it out, but for those who didn't, I'm glad that you let it be revealed when the game reveals it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So James has had this revelation, and obviously, like, that's not what's on the videotape. It's just like, so Laura bursts into the room. There's nothing playing on the TV. James is just sitting and staring at static. So it's like putting the videotape in the VCR was symbolic.
It triggered his memory.
Well, I think Tim taking the action was symbolic of him being like, okay, I'm ready to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, okay. So it did. It's like taking the action, let his subconscious be like, all right, buddy, this is what you're hiding. This is what you're running from. This is what all these fucking monsters are about. This is what you did. This is why you're in hell.
Hmm.
Laura bursts in, is not reading the room at all.
Well, she's like, 8.
I know. She's like, hey, buddy, did you find Mary? And he tells her, Mary's dead. And Laura asks him, did she die because she was sick? And James looks at her right in the eye and says, no, I killed her. Laura flips out, obviously,
right.
Screams that she hates him, wails on him, tiny fists everywhere. And James just sits there, doesn't say a word, takes it.
Okay.
This is the truth behind every monster that James was tired of having a sick wife, tired of watching her suffer, tired of his life being consumed with taking care of her, tired of being faithful to someone who could probably never meet his needs again.
Yeah.
He was desperate to make that life stop. So he killed her. But in doing so, he didn't find the freedom he was looking for. He only found mind-shattering guilt and shame.
Yeah.
Because he had loved Mary once.
Right.
So all he managed to do was launch himself from one kind of hell into a much worse one. So it seems like James has finally broken through his denial when his little pocket radio chirps to life and he hears Mary's voice telling him to come find her. She won't say where she is, but she says, I'm close by.
Mary, this would be a lot easier if you would just tell me where you're at, okay?
Listen. She's not about making it easy. So James gets up and keeps looking for her, and the hotel is now, like, rotting and falling down around him.
Okay.
We are definitely in layer 2 at this point, and down in the basement, you find Angela for one last time. So this is part 2 of my favorite. Yeah, this is part 2 of my favorite part of the game. Really, the whole stretch from, like, James watching the video scene to this, like, it's just, The whole fucking hotel, the whole game is my favorite part of the game. I can't draw the line to like where it starts, because like when, especially once you know what the revelations mean and what all the symbolism means, it's like the whole thing is just on these train tracks right into the ninth fucking circle of hell, and you can't look away. But anyway, Angela is walking up a stairwell, and everything is on fire.
Nice.
Kind of out of nowhere, because the rest of the hotel is like very damp and rotting and like...
Right. Probably not something that would catch fire very easily.
It's basically sinking into the lake. And like like you said, I don't think James's version of Silent Hill could burn if you tried. But we're not in there now. We're in Angela's hell for a moment. Angela sees James and at first thinks that he's her mom. She goes to hug him, figures out who it is. James tells her, I think you were right before. Whatever we're looking for isn't here. Angela thanks him for helping her out earlier. But she says that I wish you hadn't. It's like Mama always said, I deserved what he did. Yeah. So that's who her mom was.
Oh, so like, why the heck is she looking for this woman? To kill her too? Because that's what she should be doing.
No, because she doesn't, she is too wrapped up in the trauma that they gave her to even see that her mom isn't correct about that. Like, she still blames herself for all of it. She's looking for her mom because her mom is alive. Her mom never directly, I mean, she did abuse her, but in Angela's mind, her mom's not the one that hurt her. She just wants to not be all alone anymore. And, like, the only option she can see is her mother, who is hot, steaming, liquid shit.
Right.
But that's all she knows. That's all she has. Her whole family, her mom, her dad, her brother, have all been abusive. Dad and brother assaulted her. Mom knew about it and justified it and protected them. And because of that 1-2 punch, because of abuser and justifier, Angela cannot forgive herself for killing them. Angela tells James, don't pity me because it isn't worth it. And then her next line, I'm just going to quote it as it's presented because it kicks me in the goddamn sternum every time I hear it.
Great.
She says, what? Do you think you can save me? Will you love me? Care for me? Heal all my pain? And when James says nothing, Angela says, that's what I thought. I know Angela, you know, like I know people like her. I know people who have let other people tell them that they're worthless and unlovable and then believe it. And you know what fucking sucks the most is it is hard to love people like that. Not because there's anything inherently wrong with them, not because they aren't wonderful, lovable people, but because it's hard to love anybody through their own insistence that they can't be loved.
Right.
It's hard to love anyone through their own insistence that you don't actually love them. Through their own suspicion that you're lying and you're going to hurt them. Like, receiving and internalizing love requires trust.
Right.
And it takes a special person to push through all of that trauma, and James is not
it's
that
not
person.
That person.
Angela did nothing wrong, and Angela cannot be saved. Yeah. At the very end of this interaction, James comments on how hot it is in here, what with everything being on fire. And Angela says, oh, you can see it now? It always looks like this for me.
Oh, my God.
James continues on his way to finding Mary, but now there's monsters around. But they're not doing anything. They aren't trying to attack. They're mostly just lying on the floor. Some of them are even running away from him. Because, though the trauma that created them is still there, the denial that fueled them is gone. Their role was to force James to confront his demons, and now that he's done that, they don't have any power over him anymore. You make your way into a big boss arena, final boss time, and you find, well, actually, this is like a pre- This is the foreplay to the final boss. Yeah. This is the Micro Maiden show before you go. In this arena and you find Pyramid Head. And he has Maria bound upside down to like a torture rack situation.
Ew, what?
Listen, he's a rapist and Pyramid Head is bad. He's bad.
I know he's bad.
So this is Pyramid Head's last attempt at getting James to, like, shove all of this knowledge into a drawer in his head and lock it forever. Pyramid Head kills Maria again, right in front
Damn,
of him.
Maria.
But James isn't going to run away this time. He says to Pyramid Head, I know who you are. I know who I am. It's over now, and I don't need you anymore.
Hmm.
So, boss fight commences, but it ends not with James killing Pyramid Head, but with Pyramid Head killing himself.
Hmm.
Really, all of the fights with Pyramid Head, you can't actually kill him. He either right. leaves, or he kills himself, or whatever. You can move things along.
Right.
But you can't, what you're doing doesn't actually matter. Like, he decides, he chooses.
Huh.
So, you leave the arena, go down a long hallway, and as you go, you can hear Mary's voice from a memory telling James, you should just go home because I'm disgusting. Between the disease and the drugs, I look like a monster. I'll be dead soon. I'm no use to anyone. It would be easier if they just killed me, but I guess the hospital is making a nice profit off me. There's quiet for a moment. It says, why are you still here? I told you to go. Are you deaf? Don't ever come back. James, wait. Don't leave me alone. Tell me it'll be okay. Tell me I'm not going to die. Please help me. So that was their life for 3 years, if my theory is correct.
Right.
I'm not saying what he did was right at all. I'm saying going through what they both went through is impossible.
Yeah.
And real people go through that shit every fucking day.
Yeah. And there's no good solution.
Mm-mm. It's just fucking impossible. Top to bottom, side to side for everybody. You reach the end of the hallway, and you go up about a million stairs, and you find yourself in another big open space. And who should you see standing on the other side of the room looking out of a window but Mary?
Mm-hmm.
James runs over, throws his arms around her. They say they miss each other. Mary says, we can finally be together forever. And James takes a step back. Something just doesn't feel right.
Of course. It's the final boss.
He says, no, this isn't Mary. Mary isn't here. This is Maria, dressed like Mary, in one last attempt to fool James. He tells her, I know that Mary is gone now, and I can't keep pretending. I can't pretend that she's alive. I can't pretend that she was ever this fantasy version like Maria is. Any of it. He knows the truth now, and he isn't turning away from it, no matter how awful that it is. Maria keeps throwing herself at him, saying that I can be better than Mary. I'll be whatever you want me to be, but all to no avail. James rejects her anyway, which makes Maria big mad.
Uh-huh.
Because she literally only exists for him.
Yeah.
He spawned her into being in this hellhole, and now he doesn't want her.
Yeah.
So Maria transforms into a boss monster. It's like a play on Flesh Lips, the earlier monster that was a representation of Mary. Now it's like kind of like a darker version of that with more bugs. But it's very similar structurally in how it moves and what it does to Flesh Lips. You have to fight her. It's pretty hard, but once you kill her, the scene jumps to you sitting at Mary's bedside. And Mary is very sick. James apologizes. She says, don't be sorry. She says, look, I wanted the pain to end. And James said, I know that, but that's not why I did what I did. The truth is, James says, I hated you. I wanted you out of the way, and I wanted my life back. If that's true, Mary says, why do you look so sad now? James takes her hand. Mary gives him the letter she wrote him, the one that Laura dropped.
Mm-hmm.
The letter is never read. It just transitions from that moment to the ending scene. Now, there are multiple endings of Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
But which one you are going to be given is not dependent on actions you have consciously taken. It turns out the game has been watching how you play the game, who you are as a character, and determines your ending based on that.
Hmm.
So, for example, in the original, factors included how often you went into your inventory to read the letter from Mary, how often you looked at her picture, how low you would let your health get before you used a healing item, whether or not you go check on Maria, even though you don't have to, whether or not you try to use the knife that Angela gives you. In the remake, the ending you get is based on your response to various puzzles. So, like, the game makes certain puzzles seem like you need to figure out the right answer to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one where you have to decide which character in a fairy tale is responsible for the princess's death. There's one where you have to, like, take the first half of a poem and match it to the second half of a poem.
Oh.
There's one where you have to use either a fresh apple or a rotting apple as a key item to open a door. The thing is, none of these puzzles have a right answer. Any solution right. will work to progress the story.
But what you choose.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, they are subjective, and the way you solve it, the character you think is guilty, the poem you write, determines what happens to you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You solve the puzzle, the game proceeds, and you think, you don't know. You think it's because you had the right answer.
Right.
It had nothing to do with that. The game would have taken anything. The puzzle was just an opportunity to learn about you. And I think that's fucking genius.
That is pretty cool.
Like, especially when the original game dropped, that was, like, revolutionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that when they remade it, they changed they kept so much the same, but they changed the ending conditions so nobody could juice the system to, like, get what you wanted. Because it took a long time for people to figure out how to manipulate the ending.
Gotcha.
So, like I said, multiple endings to this game. In one ending, you wander off into the fog with Maria. So if you seem to be leaning towards her. And I think if you get that ending, the boss that you fight in the arena is actually Mary.
Hmm.
But I never got any of the Maria endings because Maria kind of annoyed me. So I didn't get any of those endings.
That's funny.
In another, you are able to leave Silent Hill with Laura as, like, an adopted father.
Okay.
In another, you completely lose touch with reality and convince yourself that Mary isn't dead at all.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, like, none of these endings is considered, like, good or right. Like, they're all bittersweet. They all involve sacrifice and letting go of something, whether it's the idea that you can save Mary or the fantasy of who you wish your wife was or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal favorite ending is called Stillness. So basically, you end up back in your car, parked at the Overlook. Ooh, fun brief aside about the car.
Mm-hmm.
At the very fucking beginning of the game.
Yeah.
If you look into the back seat of the car, you can see a body wrapped in a blanket laying in the back seat of the car.
What?
It's really easy to miss because you don't need anything in your car and you have to kind of, like, angle it right to see in through the window. But, like, it's there. It's there the whole time.
Wow.
So that leans into my theory that, like, she just fucking died.
Yeah. And yeah. Okay.
So anyway, I digress. This ending, Stillness, my favorite ending. So you're sitting in your car at the Overlook and James starts to cry and tells Mary he loves her and that he can't forgive himself for what he's done and that all he wants to do is be with her again. And you hear Mary's voice coming from the back seat of the car. Like, the way it's being shot, you think that he's just by himself talking to himself.
Yeah.
And then you hear her voice, and she says, "I know." And you see a woman's hand reach from the back of the car and caress his face. James says he's sorry. Mary's face leans in to frame towards his ear, and she says, "Shh, hey, it's okay." James asks her if she'll wait for him, and she says, "I've always been waiting for you." Screen cuts to black. We hear James start his car and drive it into the lake. And look, I know it's not healthy by any stretch of the imagination. Game Boy and I have both made promises to each other that we will not do that.
Right.
I actually met a woman who says she's psychic. I don't know. I don't fucking know what she is. I don't know how much I believe in that. But she told me something a while back that, like, really got under my skin.
Oh gosh.
It's just, I don't know. So basically, she's like, reincarnation exists, but only for people that kill themselves. Because, like, if you play God and cut your own life short before you've learned every lesson you're supposed to learn,
right,
you get sent back and you have to do it again. And her point was, so if you're tempted to kill yourself to join a deceased loved one, you're actually prolonging
your time away from
yes.
them.
Yes. And like I said, like, I don't fucking know.
Right.
If I don't know if she's full of shit. I don't know anything about it. But there was just something about that that, like, has really stuck with me. There's something that feels, I don't know, it feels fucking plausible for some reason. I don't fucking know. It put me off the idea, though. Not that I was on the idea.
Right.
But, like, it put me all the way off the idea. But I am still super deeply moved by stories of, like, a character who loves someone so much that they decide not to live without them. And I'm also incredibly moved by Mary's forgiveness. Like, mm-hmm. she is the one who was sick. She is the one who was murdered.
Right.
But she still manages to have such deep compassion for James. Because she loves him, and because he went through a lot. And, like, shit, sometimes the amount that you need to forgive somebody you love isn't fucking fair, but you still gotta do it if you love them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I also want to point out the possibility that this ending and all of the endings maybe aren't even endings at all.
Mm-hmm.
This could just reset James back to the beginning of the loop. We don't know. We don't know if he can escape Silent Hill.
But like, his hell is just to keep experiencing this yes. over and over and over
and
again.
And that is a possibility. I like to think that this is the end, that we've closed the loop.
Yeah.
That he's faced himself and gotten forgiveness, etc., that he can rest now. But I don't know.
Yeah.
So I want to give you space if you have any final thoughts or reactions, because we are about to make a fucking hairpin turn into talking about the character I had a crush on. So if anything you want to say before, like, we are out back into shallow water, go ahead.
I feel like there was something, but now I can't even remember, so it's not a big deal.
Well, feel free to interrupt and drag us back down into the pits occasionally.
Okay. If I remember it. I, like, had a thought, and I can't remember if that thought was then answered, because I don't remember what the thought was.
Well, womp womp.
Oh, well. That's my life.
So who I had a crush on, I cannot adequately convey how inappropriate it would be to have a crush on any of these characters in their current circumstances, but that right. did not stop me.
No so, shocker there.
And in this case, my crush character is not my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite character is Angela.
Angela's pretty cool.
I mean, I think she's heartbreaking. Her voice actress is incredible.
Oh, nice.
Knocks it out of the fucking park. I find her situation endlessly fascinating, that she's yeah. trapped in hell from her own guilt, even though nobody else on the planet would think she was guilty.
Right.
I love Angela, but I want to fuck James, and I'm only a little ashamed to admit that. And, like, look.
Something listen. About a guy that you think you can fix him.
Well, look, listen, I know he murdered his wife. Who hasn't? Tell me, Paige, who hasn't murdered their sick, bedridden wife? I'll wait.
What?
So one of the, listen, I just, okay.
I mean, my dad.
Good for him. He's not in Silent Hill, I guess.
I hope not.
Fuck. No, he hangs out in your house sometimes. We know.
Oh, yeah.
See? I just, like, okay, so one of the biggest things wrong with me is that when people are in unhappy relationships, it, like, it triggers my competitive side. And it's like, I bet I can make you happier than they currently are. It's
You're
really
ridiculous.
Fucked up. It's really not healthy or good, but there is a shadow self in me that's like, oh, your dying wife is being a total bummer? Don't worry. I'll be your sexy nurse anytime.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
you were
like,
ridiculous.
Like, no, but, like, seriously, the fact, it's not in spite of how he is, it's the fact that he is so sad and he is so sexually backed up makes me want to be like, lay it all on me, big boy. I can take your tears and your cum. Also, because James and Pyramid Head are one and the same, we know James is ripped as fuck underneath that green coat. There's
Maybe
nothing.
That's just what he thinks he looks like, but he doesn't really.
No, like, it is the same character model. Like, you can manipulate,
okay.
like,
Okay.
You can remove layers. If you know how to get into the code, you can.
Okay.
Gotcha. He takes care of himself. He works out.
Yep.
He's a sad boy that looks hot. I am what I am, Paige.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, let's talk gameplay mechanics.
Yep, let's do that.
This is your typical survival horror game. The environment is foggy and spooky and decrepit. You have limited resources. Spooky things come at you out of nowhere. You have a gun and a beaten stick. You find health drinks and dirty syringes lying around. You use them to heal. There's puzzles.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, there's puzzles and riddles to solve. All of these things are interesting. And they're all kind of unique. They're goodies in the environment. The music and the sound design are really good. They're really creepy and unsettling. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, you'll need to, like, reach your arm into a hole in a wall, but the hole is, like, wet and squelchy.
Ew.
And deeply unpleasant. But sometimes that's where you lose your keys, you know, in a wet wall hole. That's where your keys are.
I guess so.
The map is really good in this game. Like, usually game maps are useless to me.
Yeah.
Because I have the spatial reasoning skills of a blind toddler. But this one, like, James, like, takes notes on it as you go, like,
oh,
circles places and marks, like, this is where the key was. This way is closed off. Super helpful. There's some neat immersion details in the game. The haptics are really good. The combat is good. Like, between the haptics and the sound design, like, it feels like you're beating someone to death with a steel pipe.
Oh,
like,
cool.
They're nailing the immersion.
I think
it does. Let me be clear. I don't know from experience what it feels like to beat someone to death with a steel pipe. I imagine it's something like what is happening in this game. There's some other like little things. So like this is like a microscopic detail, but it just adds so much immersion to me. So in most games, if you walk up to a door, you have to like hit X to open it.
Mm-hmm.
When you get close to a door, James will just like, oh, like just walking towards it, he like will just open it or push into it.
Nice.
And it just flow, like it doesn't break the flow the way they design that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's locked, he'll like push into it and then grunt, which is kind of hot. There's really only one gameplay thing. Really only one thing that frustrated me. And that's that if you hit triangle, it automatically uses a healing item. And I would hit that accidentally all the time and, like, waste my healing items when I was fucking fine, which sucked because there aren't that many of them. Also, the flashlight sucks. It's supposed to. It's kind of the point. It's survival
right.
horror. But it's like, I can't see. I know it's for ambiance, but I want to be able to see. But really, the gameplay itself, great as it may be, is not where this game shines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are better games in all of those respects.
Right.
Where this game makes its mark is the story and the characters and
uh-huh.
the symbolism of,
yeah.
of the monsters in particular. There are lots of cool little gems hidden buried through the game. There's too many to mention, but I think my favorite thing, and I've been waiting to tell you about this because it would
mm-hmm.
reveal too much.
Mm.
The entire game, from moment one, when you open up the menu and go into your inventory.
Yeah.
Is there
a pillow?
No.
Oh.
No, that would be hilarious. No. In the background of all of those menus is a close-up video of James smothering Mary with a pillow.
What?
It's at a weird angle. It's grainy. But once you know what it is, that's definitely what the fuck it is. It has been there the whole time. You could watch that at any moment. The game is telling you from start what happened. Just like James knows the whole time what happened. He just won't let himself admit it.
That's wild.
It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy. This game captures perfectly what denial and shame look like. James knows what he did. He will not let himself remember or deal with it. But it is always there. It is always in the back
yeah.
of his mind. No matter how hard he tries to convince himself that he's a good husband or that he loved his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall rating. Like I said at the top, this is my third favorite game of all time. I never fucking get tired of talking about it and thinking about it. Like, I have a friend that does, like, a gaming video YouTube thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about doing a Silent Hill 2 thing. And he's like, you want in? And I was like, before he even finished his sentence, I was like, yes. Yes, I do. More?
Uh-huh.
More? Just, I never get it out of my system. I will never get this game out of my
system.
Who's
this friend?
It's Boner Man. Why do you hate him so? Is it
I don't
of the
hate him.
Is it because of the erection? Are you sex shaming Boner Man?
I'm not.
Slut shaming. That's the word I meant.
What? No, I just don't want to think about boners all the time.
I do.
Good for you.
So, because. What was I? I was going somewhere with this. I was winding
because
up
you,
to an ending.
Because you love talking about it and you never want to shut up about Silent Hill 2.
I don't. It is a crime against humanity that this game has not received a decent film adaptation or miniseries.
Right.
Because a wider audience needs to experience this. Like, not everybody is a gamer.
I don't want to play this game, but I think I would watch a show.
That's the thing. That's what I'm. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, all I will say about the recent film adaptation is that it changed the story to the point that I don't think it even counts as an adaptation of Silent Hill 2 anymore.
That's so weird.
Like, it changed so many key details that James and Mary are not married in the movie. They've only been together a few months in the movie. They break up before she dies in the movie. She asks him to kill her in the movie.
What are you doing?
So, like, none of the guilt, none of the shame, none of the a monster that has spawned from 3 years of not having sex with anybody because your wife is dying doesn't make sense in the context of a movie where your girlfriend of a few months gets sick after you broke up.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't make any, it doesn't make any fucking sense! It doesn't make any sense! I don't, and the fucking creator of the movie has the audacity to say that this is his favorite game? How?
Favorite game where?
How? What about it?
Have you played this game?
The sexy nurses? Did you not notice anything? Were you just like, oh, this is kind of hot and dark and scary?
Right.
It's just oh
gave
my
him
God.
A boner.
You see? They're fun to talk about. So, it deserves a good adaptation. For the love of God, somebody out there, somebody listening, are you a filmmaker? Can you please? I'll help you. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I need to be able to share this with people. I guess I can just send them this podcast episode, but you know, a movie would be really nice.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would be really nice.
I would watch a movie or a limited series.
Everyone would. Not everybody. A lot of people would.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the fucking movie anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to get stabby.
Okay.
The thing about the game, it's not the gameplay and the puzzles and the exploration. It's all fun and well done. This fucking story and the characters, it's the way that they so masterfully handle such extremely difficult subject matter. Mm-hmm. And they do it with grace and with nuance and without shying away from, like, all of the harsh reality of these situations. Like, They go into it all the way. Like, this is what it looks like when somebody is abused by their parent. This is mm-hmm. what it looks like when a loved one is sick and dying mm-hmm. for years. It's all impossible. And every character is bad and every character is sympathetic. Like,
right.
All of these things are true. Angela is a tragic figure you want to save, but you can't save her because the person she needs saved from is herself.
Right.
Hell is real. Whether or not Silent Hill or Hades or whatever is real, hell is real because we make hell for ourselves all the time, even if just in our own minds. And that hell we make can spill over into the lives of other people around us. That is what the fuck Silent Hill 2 is about. Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful, exceedingly dark exploration of what guilt and trauma can do to us and through us. I could not love it more if I tried. When people say that video games are a waste of time or they aren't real art or whatever bullshit, Silent Hill 2 is like exhibit A as to why video games are just as high an art form as any other. I give this game 1 million out of 10, hands down.
1 million out of 10.
Anyway, I'm tired and need to lay down now. You can
Me
find us
too.
You can find us on Instagram at Page and Pixel. PC. If you love Silent Hill, you can hit me up. If you don't love Silent Hill, you can
shut up.
Throw yourself onto train tracks.
Dang.
So
you are going to alienate some of our listeners.
No, that's
keep talking like
listen,
that.
Listen, if they're still here,
they like it.
They like it. They're into it. Anyway, friends, go play this game. Don't go watch this movie. There are plenty of good Let's Plays on YouTube if you want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Experience this story and send the message to the powers that be that we need a redo. Call Netflix.
I'm getting A24 on the line.
Call
right now.
Ari Aster. Somebody call Ari Aster. Anyway.
read hard.
Play hard.
And fuck your wife.
Bye.